Nick. I'm the pastor here at Huntersville Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by what you hear today as we as a body partake in the ordinary means of grace. If you have questions about what you hear, you may also contact us. We would love to answer those for you. And we hope that one day we might have the blessing of having your presence with us. Thanks for joining us.
Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is.
You may be seated. As you are, turn to Matthew 13. It's also on page 6 in your bulletin. Matthew 13, we will begin at verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And now verse 36. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are those sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. And the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father.' The one having ears, hear the word of God for the people of God." A couple of years ago, I paid someone for the first time ever to aerate my lawn and to put out grass seed. And for the charge that I received, I expected nothing but the best. You know where this is going. When the grass began to sprout, once where there wasn't clover and other sorts of things, now there's clover and all sorts of grasses that were not expected. It wasn't an enemy that came and did it. I think the guy just cheaped out because he left me his bag, and it was a bag of just, I don't know, not good seed. That's it. He just did not have good seed. In this picture, well, you understand seed is important, but Jesus has already told us once, "The one having ears to hear, listen, pay attention," because if you're not careful, you're going to think that the seed in this is the same seed as last time. That's not the case. We'll talk about that shortly. But Jesus told us last week that we who have ears are to listen. And he tells us again at the end of this parable that we who are his disciples, who desire to be good soil hearers, We are to desire that at all times and to put on our ears of faith and to hear what he has for us. Remember, Jesus is countering those religious leaders who in that day, well, had been giving people the wrong ideas about his kingdom. They had been expecting the kingdom to be some sort of geopolitical entity wherein Christ would come in and deliver them from Rome, and Israel would rise to prominence in that place and time as a geopolitical powerhouse. And that would be the glory of God's kingdom. And Jesus is telling us right here, they got it wrong. Don't listen to them, listen to me. His kingdom is entirely different. He sets that out for us in this parable. He said they didn't understand the kingdom, and now he's saying to you, here is what it is like. If you don't want to miss it, pay attention. That's what these parables are doing. They are setting in contrast the reality of Christ's kingdom, of the kingdom of heaven, to the misunderstandings of those who had been leading people astray. And so he's saying, listen carefully. And in this parable, Jesus shows us a couple of things. He shows us that he's always working in order to plant his kingdom. And that his kingdom is always opposed. And he's going to show us that in three different things. He's going to show us in the sowers, right? There's not just one sower here. There are two sowers. He's going to show us in the seeds. There's not just one kind of seed here. There are two seeds. And then he's going to show us the field. He's going to show us the field, and then I lied. It's 4 points. I wanted to get your hopes up and dash them. And he's going to show us the patience of the one who owns it all. And so the sowers, what does he say? He put before them a parable saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed. What does that mean, Jesus? He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. In this world, in this situation, there is one who is at work sowing good seed, sowing hope, sowing the reality of a life changed by what he is doing. That is the Son of Man. We've talked about that already, but as we look at it again, this is Jesus taking to him that designation. Yes, you see it in Ezekiel, and yes, you see it in Daniel. I think here he's taking it on of himself, especially in Daniel chapter 7, where we see that one who is like the Son of Man, the Ancient of Days, who has a kingdom and a dominion, that all nations will come to that kingdom, and his kingdom is everlasting. That's who you get right here, this one who is working in this world is the one who is over all of this world. He is the one who is, well, Revelation chapter 5 will show you, the Lamb slain with the 7 horns and the 7 eyes, and you think, that's really strange, I don't understand that. Simplifying it. The one who is over all things is the one who has those 7 horns, perfect governance over all things. That Son of Man who has an everlasting kingdom. He will never not reign. Who has 7 eyes, perfect vision. He sees everything that is happening in this world, and it is not, there is nothing that takes him by surprise. He's over all things for us and for his glory. And he is the one who was slain so that no matter what you endure, no matter what you face, no matter what comes to you, you understand he's already been there. That's the Son of Man who is at work in this world. And notice he didn't sow back then only and forget it. He's at work right now. In the very same way, in this world, with perfect vision and perfect governance, and who has perfect love for his people. And he's working And he's active, continually active in his field. And yet, there's another sower. Just like last week, we said every time that the word is present, Satan is active. Every Sunday when we come here, whether you listen well or not, he is paying attention and he is active, wanting to snatch away that seed. He's wanting to undo what's being sown. So he here is active, right? Isn't that what it says? His enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. He's active. That wasn't just something for back then. Do you understand, again, the danger that is the reality of the Christian life, the reality of the spiritual walk that sees by faith? We understand that hearing is a dangerous thing. Satan is always active, wanting to take the word. You understand that your enemy walks about like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's the picture. Christ is active, and he is actively sowing. And then the evil one, who is the devil, that's what Jesus says. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. He never rests. He too is actively sowing. And that's the picture of the two sowers. One who is all glorious, has all dominion, who has your best at heart. He's been slain for you. He's actively planting in his field. And yet his enemy, your enemy, the evil one, is active. And then he tells us about the seed, doesn't he? Who sowed good seed in his field. What's the good seed? Well, Jesus says, the good seed. Now, you're expecting it to be the word, right? That's what it was last week. Last week, whenever the parable of the sowers goes out and the word is broadcast, it is sinking down in the hearts. That's not here. What's happening? Now, well, Jesus is contrasting it just a little this time. He says, the good seed. The sons of the kingdom. You have to pay attention to parables. This time it's not the word, it's the sons of the kingdom. The good seed, beautiful, healthy, excellent seed. That is well adapted to its ends. Now, you have to realize how important good seed is in agriculture. It's actually one of the backside businesses that you probably don't know much about unless you've ever dealt in farming, right? I grew up with a couple of boys whose dad owned a seed cleaning business. What's seed cleaning? I'm glad you asked. It's when farmers grow, they grow enough to plant the following year. So let's take wheat, for example. A farmer will have in excess 900 bushels. Let's take that. And he takes his tractor trailer truck to the seed cleaning place. And what do? They begin sorting and sifting. They're not pressure washing seed. It's not that sort of cleaning. It's taking out trash and taking out dead seed. And they begin to sift it so that in one tray begins to be the trash. It's like you see in the Bible where they're tossing up the chaff and the seed together and the chaff blows away. That's cleaning the seed so that the good stuff falls. This takes it even a step further. It shakes it so that even the dried, withered seeds are not going, the ones that aren't going to bear fruit, the ones that aren't going to grow up, they are done away with so that at the end you have nothing but good, productive seed that's going to be there. That's the good seed. That's what Jesus is planting. Whenever he plants seed, it's always that which will be in his likeness. He's planting sons of the kingdom, those who will be like him, who look like him, who will grow up in his image, who are brought to a measure and stature of maturity after Christ. That's what he's planting. That's the, That's the seed, the good seed, that will germinate. And you get what is planted. And then, of course, you get Satan, right? And so he sowed weeds. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. They are those who are brought up right alongside the seed that's in the field. They are brought up right alongside them. They are the lawbreakers. They are the ones who do not follow after Christ so that they grow up in the likeness of their father. Right? Isn't that what Jesus says? You are of your father, the devil. You have been sown from his seed. And so here's the picture. Christ has planted. He has sown. And, well, Satan comes with more seed and he oversows. That's what you do when the winter happens and you got patches and your grass is starting to look sparse. And you go out there with an unnecessary amount of seed and you just cover it. Well, this is the picture. Satan has come in and he has seen what Christ has done and he's just tossed his seed right there with it in that same field. And here's the reality. They look the same. At those early stages, they begin to come up. You can't even tell the difference. And then, depending on what's sown, some people think this is what's called darnel. And darnel looks like wheat. It's a weed that looks like wheat. And they say that's what's sown here. So that it looks very much like, well, the grain. The good grain. That's very possible. It's very possible. But here's the thing. He sows over with hopes that the workers will be foolish and pull up those who don't have a growing love for Christ along with those who do. It's malintent. He sows those who have no interest in the Lord, but only in doing what they please. But here's where Christ's kingdom, you don't expect these things. Right? You don't expect him to say of his kingdom that there are false sons in her pale, right? That there are those who look like his that aren't his growing up right alongside. You don't understand that if you think that it is only, well, it's only a pure church that he's gathering. He's drawing in a gathered church, a church where the seed is sown indiscriminately. The seed is put out there, and it falls where it will, and, well, he's going to draw in from that. Here's the difference that we need to see. It's unexpected because they were looking for a pure and only pure seed that would separate them from the rest. Israel by blood, right? Not by understanding Christ. And Jesus is saying to them, No, it's not only in this nation. That's where he draws out, and that's where the shock value comes in for those who had wrongly thought that his kingdom was limited to this place. What does he say? He sows seed in the field. What's the field, Jesus? The field is the world. Not a geopolitical nation. Limited in one space. When I think of sowing in a field, I think of one small plot that I own. And that's where I will plow up and I will put down and I will reap that harvest. That's not what Jesus says. This is why his kingdom is unexpected. Because he says that the Son of Man is sowing not just there in Israel. The Son of Man's kingdom will be in the entirety of the world. The world is the field. It's not just Israel because the Lord owns it all and his seed is distributed throughout. He sows indiscriminately. He's at work in this world indiscriminately planting hope, distributing the good news of the gospel through his church, through his workers as the seed is sown there. And so Christ sows, and Satan is steady behind, sowing as well. and in this world you will grow up with. You will be beside those sown in the same place, and yet they might be weeds. How is it that you are not a weed? How is it that you can have assurance that you're not the seed that Satan sowed? How is it that Jesus is talking about this, and this is not how they expected the picture to be? How is it that they can be, and we can be sure that we are of the good seed? Well, those who are causers of sin and lawbreakers, they have no assurance. Those who run after sin and teach others to sin, they cannot have assurance that they are not of the seed of the devil. But how do you know? How do you know? Well, he's already told you that. It's that you hear and receive his word. That seed turns you into this seed. That you receive it with gladness, with intention, to put it into practice, to hear and to walk after what it is that he has meant for you as a good soil here. That seed turns you into this seed. The seed of the word produces the seed that will bear fruit of children of the kingdom, of sons of the kingdom. So you submit yourself to it, and in it he will bear fruit in you. So that you are his. And so you get this patience. You get this patience, not of the evil one. The evil one hopes that his workers won't go to him and they will just pull up indiscriminately. But the patience is on the part of the Son of Man. What is his patience? They come to him. They say, "Master, did you not sow good seeds in your field? How then does it have weeds?" And he says, "An enemy has done this." And so they said, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Verse 40, "Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." The one having ears to hear, hear. What's the patience of Christ? It's that this is a picture of life in this world. That even now, in this world, this field, he is steady at work planting, that his word goes forward, and that he is creating and causing sons to be brought forth, sons of his kingdom. And this is how it will be until the end of the age. And until then, we have right alongside sons of the kingdom, sons of the evil one, in the very same field. Here's his patience. Those who are causes of sin and lawbreakers, they receive the same sun. They receive the same rain. They receive the same fertilizer and nourishment and things that sustain them until the very end. Christ is gracious in that way, even though it serves to them only to their judgment. But he doesn't put in early. He doesn't pull before it's time. He will only harvest just as he came, in the fullness of time. Because then, And only then, growing up under those conditions and with that reality, will they bear the exact fruit for which He has planted them. You may think you will all look the same and have the same fruits, but He's already said some will bear 30, some 60, some 100. We will all be different. We're growing up amongst different weeds. Some of them want to choke you out even now. And He's saying to you, no, no, I will patiently let you endure exactly what is yours to endure. And then in the end, I will make that distinction. I will separate. He lets them see His goodness and live in His world and have His rain and His sun and His nutrients. And with the very breath that they used to curse Him, He's given it to them. That's patience. That's patience. That's because as of yet, there are those that you still cannot tell. Are they wheat? Are they weeds? And in His patience, He's not letting us make the decision now. He's the one who will sort in His time. And those who maybe at first look like a weed, they may have been pulled up too early, and yet He would have shown His work in them, and they are good seed. But the reality is this: those who are His will be brought into His barn. They will shine. In other words, they will be seen as distinct. They will be known. They will be different. They will be seen for who they are. Seeds of the Son. They are the sons of the kingdom. But those who are sons of the evil one, well, they will be thrown into the fiery furnace, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, we often think of this as a picture of torment, and that may be there, but that's not the picture of gnashing the teeth. This is where I think the distinction lies, particularly now. It's for those who have no care for the kingdom, those who have hatred and despisal or even noncommittal. It's those soils. Those are the ones who will weep and gnash their teeth. And when we think of gnashing teeth, well, I can't demonstrate it because I don't know what it looks like, but it's that grinding your teeth, not in pain, but in anger. There are five times that the word is used in the Old Testament. A couple of times in the Psalms, in Job, Lamentations, and three times in the Psalms. So three times in the Psalms, Job, and Lamentation. And every time, it's in anger. It's in anger at what an enemy is doing. It's in anger at what God is doing. And it even says that God gnashes His teeth at Job, or Job perceives it as such, that He's angry at him. Here is the picture. Those who are in His kingdom, who love Him, who grow up in that, they will only grow in that love. We saw that in our children's message. Heaven is a world of love because we will only love God perfectly and each other perfectly, and that will only grow, and we will grow in radiance in that. The other is a place of outer darkness where there's only anger and hatred that grow there. There's only a festering, lingering anger that's there. And Jesus is saying to those who don't love Him now, if you have ears, listen to what I'm saying. See if He is at work in your heart and around you. See if He is calling to you that you might hear these words, that He might change you. The leopard can't change its spots, but the Lord can change the human nature. So that those who were once haters of God, those who were once enemies of God, those who were once lawbreakers are now sons of the kingdom. And He says to you this morning, hear what I say. Seek my kingdom, that you might grow in it. He doesn't plant bad seed. And he's never not at work planting. But Satan is always likewise planting. Come to the patient one. Ask for his grace. Ask him to change you that you might know him. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks that your kingdom is not merely located in Israel, in some geopolitical nation that was and then was not. But your field is in this world. Lord Jesus, be at work planting us, growing us up, planting your word in our hearts that makes us sons of the kingdom. And let us, O Lord, grow up and be placed in your barn. This we ask in Christ's name.